Good morning. Again, this morning we have several quarantined and out because of the COVID issues. And so continue to remember them in prayer and pray for God's safety upon us as we're all out and about. And those in the hospital, pray for healing on their bodies and just to bless them. Remember our youth tonight as we'll be having our Christmas play this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I know it's going to be different than most years. It's going to be a little shorter and a little different all the way around with grandparents not being able to come, different things. So just do the best we can do and do our best to honor the name of Jesus is what we're called to do. So I pray that we do that tonight. So invite people who will come. We'll try to, of course, be as careful as we can. And then we will have our meal downstairs, New Fellowship Hall. They says refreshments, but that's anything you can eat. It wouldn't, if you had some cream potatoes and pintos and all that, would be all right too. Cornbread. But remember that and come out. And don't forget, Christmas Eve night, we will have a service at 8 o'clock. I know it may seem late. We did it last year at that time, and it worked out good. Last year, things was different. People was going to family events and all, and a lot of people has canceled their family events for this year. So we will still do it at 8. Invite neighbors, invite anybody you want to, and looking forward to that service. It was great last year. Thinking it will be great again this year. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? Remember Janelle and Kenny, and of course Rudy and Peggy was positive, and they are quarantining, and I think Charlie has went for a test, awaiting some results, so pray for that and pray for his health. There's probably more I don't even know. Yes, and Craig's had it also, I think, up there, so just a lot of people affected. Just remember them and pray. Pray that God takes this away off our land. I know there's a reason, and you study the Bible, and every time pestilences or famines come upon the land, it was to bring the people back to God. So I know that's what it's for. I pray that we adhere the warning and turn to Him. And I pray I know we will in due time. He will lift it from us. And so I just pray for comfort and healing until that time. Any others? Yeah, remember her. Remember the family also of a great friend of ours, Charlene Brown, which connection to most of y'all would be Ricky Pritchard's sister. Passed away last week, had her funeral Friday. Can you remember her family and her friends that so loved her dear and her church family? She was real active in their church over at New Hope Well and will be missed greatly. Do we have any others? Yeah. Remember them. Do we have any others? Do we have any other prayer requests? We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then Dave is going to read our second Advent scripture, and we'll light the second candle of Advent. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've blessed us with. We ask you to be with our people who are hurting, who are suffering from COVID and many other issues. We ask you to touch them in a mighty way. God, be with those families that has lost loved ones. Comfort them as only you can. God, we ask that you use that time and this time of suffering to draw those to yourself. That's the most important thing, is that people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to be with our service this morning. Touch our singers. Touch everybody that will have a part. We ask you to protect us as we meet together. As we come tonight, we ask for that same protection to be upon us. We ask, most of all, your spirit would be in our midst every time we meet. Without your spirit, our meeting is in vain. It's empty. It's useless without you here. Lord, we ask you to come join us this morning and touch us in a mighty way. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The second Sunday of Advent gives us the opportunity to prepare our hearts in faithful waiting, celebrate the birth of Jesus, and ready ourselves for his second coming. It's a beautiful chance to reflect on the ways prophecy has been fulfilled and to ponder what the future promised through prophecies will bring. In Psalms 46, 10, and 11, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So this week, we're going to pause and remember who God is and what he has done for us. When our lives are hurried, we only have the chance to focus on our to-do list. Making space in our schedules for prayer and meditation helps us to better see God at work in our lives and in the world. May God's Spirit transform the days leading up to Christmas into time of holy anticipation, preparing our hearts as we faithfully await the chance to celebrate the arrival of our King. Let us pray. Father, prepare our hearts to celebrate your birth joyfully. We thank you for faithfully doing what you promised long ago when you sent your Son on earth so that we might have the chance to become part of your family. Let the promise of your second coming inspire us to live with hope and purpose. As we wait for your plan to unfold, give us the patience we need. Remind us the peace we can access when we take this time to still ourselves before you and remember that you are God. We thank you for that you are both sovereign and gracious. Amen.
Yeah. The shepherds came to see a baby, stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night.
I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born.
The shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on that glorious night. God came down on that glorious night.
I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born.
All is calm now. Quiet, a star shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, the King is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night!
Oh, what a glorious
night. Y'all really trust y'all's kids with them. I appreciate them doing that. It's a big help. This is the second part to our Remember Me series for this Christmas season. I don't think there probably has been another Christmas that I can remember when we should have time to remember. We all complain about how busy things always are at Christmas. So this year, God's given you a little opportunity to slow down and to stay at home and not go to the people's houses, and a time to truly remember who he is, how he came. We preached about that last week. Today, we'll preach about why he came. And if you will take this on a personal level, it will forever change you. It'll forever change your life, of how you look at your life, of how you look at everything around you, and understand that he came to this world for you. Block everybody else out. At this time, you can be selfish. He came for you. We teach our kids and everybody not to be selfish and not to put ourselves above others. But for today, for this little bit of time, I want you to block everyone else out except for you. And I want you to think about that all of this was done. The virgin birth is how he came. Why he came was to seek and to save the lost. And my friend, you must understand that either you are, you was, or at some point you had to realize you was lost. And I pray today that if you are lost, that we show you how you can find the Lord. But you'll find out something better than that. You'll find out that you cannot find him, that he finds you. And Luke chapter number 19, verse 10, one little verse will forever change your life. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I'll read it again. "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Father, we thank you for this day. God, we ask you to touch hearts and lives and open our understanding. Let us understand that this is a personal invitation. You came to each one of us. At some point in our lives, you have visited us, you will visit us, or you're going to come to us. I believe every man gets an opportunity, and God, I pray that we have received you, that those have received you. If they hadn't, Father, they can. I thank you for your grace and mercy of drawing all men to yourself. And God, we ask you to touch people today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If you've ever studied Luke chapter 19, you immediately, many people do, every church I've ever been in, they have, and all people do, and I don't know why, they make fun of me for being short. There's other people that's shorter than me even that never get made fun of. I don't understand it. It don't make sense. And I've always wished that I was about 6'9", ever since I've been made fun of being short. And I pastored a group of people at Rock Springs who was that tall. And I said to, it was Steve Beam, he wouldn't mind me telling you. I said to Steve, I said, "I wish I was your height." He said, "Don't wish that." He said, "When I was in school, I got called the Jolly Green Giant. And I can't go in a doorway, and I bump my head on all fans and chandeliers and different things." So I guess we all get made fun of at certain times. But there was a short man here by his name of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And this man was desiring to see Jesus. So in Luke chapter 19, he climbs a tree so he may be able to see Jesus as he passes by. But thanks be to God that God saw him before he seen him. He looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I shall abide at thy house." He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And brother, O Zacchaeus, he fit the mold 100% of being lost. He was a publican, number one, which was hated. He was a tax collector. They didn't like them at all. We still do not. And what's worst among that is he was rich. The Bible says how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, it doesn't mean that money is what separates you from God. It is the love of that money. It's because we become to trust in other things beside of God. And that's why it's so hard for someone who is rich to find Jesus. But today, I want you to think about this. You fit in that same thing. You cannot seek him. The Bible says it's impossible for man to seek God. In Psalms chapter 10, verse number 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Read to that again. "The wicked, through pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." And me and you all, we had pride because we was in a lost state. You had that pride of thinking you was all on your own. You had it all covered. You didn't need anybody. And you could do it every bit yourself. And you had that pride that separated you from God. So it was not in you, never will it be in a man, to seek after God. If there's any seeking done, it must be God. And by the way, that word seek, it means to find and to seek diligently and to desire to find. That's what the word seek means. So God desired to have a relationship with you so much that he came to find you wherever you was. You may have been up a sycamore tree. You may have been so down low. You may have been strung out on some type of drug. You may have been in a prison. You may have been all these places. But one thing's for certain, if you come to Christ, he come looking for you. You didn't go looking for him, because it's not physically possible for a sinful man to seek a holy God. So you must be drawn, the Bible teaches. None can come, absolutely none. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 through 18. "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat's an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of their asp is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. My friend, right there proves to you that none can come after God. I've heard people say, I was such and such age when I found God, or I was this when I found God, and that is not true. According to that scripture, you may have been that age, you may have been in that place, or you may have been at that time of your life when God found you, but you did not find Him. He came seeking after you through the Holy Spirit of God, and thanks be to Him that He loved me enough that He came to seek me. And He came to seek you if you have been found. If not, I pray He will come seeking you. And I know He will, because chapter 19, verse 10 says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And brother, if you haven't found Him, you are still lost, and He desires to find you. So my prayer is, if He is calling you today, that you will answer and you will say, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Save me, because I need you." Listen, you fit into the same category as Zacchaeus, for we are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. There is not a single man who has ever lived outside of Jesus Christ who never sinned. You are a sinner, and you so need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. So He came to seek. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." This is a beautiful picture of Him seeking the lost. The word compel means to get them in no matter what. It means to drag if you have to. When you look up the Greek and Hebrew for it, it's a much stronger word than our English word compel really is. Because when we compel somebody, we just kind of ask them to do something. But listen, compel in this sense meant that you get them to God no matter if you have to draw them. And listen, God chooses today to use men, women, and boys and girls to reach the lost for Him. And He says to compel them to come. He says, "Go into the highways and the hedges." This is the rough spots. This is the spots that nobody wanted to go. He said, "Go in there and compel them or drag them to come into my house may be filled." Church, this is one place where we have lost our call. We have lost our desire. We have lost the reason we are here. And it's to compel people to come to God. Yes, they have to come to God. They have to be found of God. But He chooses to do that through me and you. And He chooses for us to tell them and to drag them and to woo them to a place where they may hear the Word of God. And at that point, He can speak to their heart. Compel them to come, that my house may be filled. He so desires them to get in heaven that He would stop at nothing to drag them in. At nothing. Now listen, He is a complete holy God. And in complete holiness, He must give you free will. I think He is required of being holy. And He says He came to seek and to save, which He never has once told a lie. This is a complete word of God, and He never will tell a lie. And He said He came to seek and to save. So if He says that, that means He came to seek and save all that is lost, that we all fit into that all word. And so at that point, at somewhere during your life, you get an opportunity, you get an invitation to come to God from God Himself. And I think most of us get more than one. But I believe He is required to give every man one opportunity, because He is a holy God. And He said He come to seek and to save, and He cannot lie, so He did that. So at some point, He called your name. He spoke to your heart. He drew you to Himself. He came seeking after you. And some of us He had to compel. Some of us He had to drag in there, because we're hard-headed. But listen today, if there is one that said in my voice, do not turn away from that call. When you hear that, you give in and you receive Him as your Savior, for there may not be another chance. Do not say, "I'll do it tomorrow." Do not say, "I'll do it," because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Has there been a time we don't know about tomorrow? We've seen that lately. We can't plan on anything. God has given us today. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. you be saved today. Don't wait another year. Don't wait until you see we're guilty. I've even heard mothers tell teenagers this, and it scares me to death. Well, you got all your life to make that choice for Jesus. No, you do not, because he comes seeking after you, and when he speaks to your heart, you have to answer, and unless he speaks, then you cannot be saved according to the scripture. He has to speak. He has to seek. So he came to seek. Number two, he came to save. To save. Have you ever thought about what the word save means? I looked it up for you. It means to deliver, to protect, or to make whole. To deliver, to protect, and to make whole. So he came to seek. He came to diligently find you, to make you whole, or to deliver you from something. We've all, you'll hear me say this a million times between now and Christmas. We've all sinned. Every single one of us. So all of us need saving from what sin's debt is. And the debt of sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death is the only payment for sin. It's not feeding the hungry. It's not feeding the poor. It's not giving to this one, giving to that one. It's not a cancer ministry. It's not a food ministry. It's not anything else. There is only one thing that will pay the sin debt, and that is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, here's the choice. There's two ways to pay this thing. It's death of your life, spiritually, which is eternal separation from God, or it is the death of a substitutionary sacrifice, who was Jesus Christ, made centuries ago on a cross for you. And at the time that God seeks after you and that you are drawn to him, you get an opportunity to decide how you will pay that debt. Will you pay it with the death of your life? Or will you pay it with the sacrifice that he made on Calvary? And I don't know about you, and I'm not real smart, but I do not want to be eternally separated from a great God. And you don't have to be. He came to seek and to save. Because of sin, we are broken, and we are bound, and we are separated from God. Every single one of us. Remember, this is personal today. Get your kids out of your mind. Get your husband out of your mind. Get your wives out of your mind. Get your fathers, mothers, whoever. Think about yourself today. You are broken. You are undone. You are separated from a holy God because of a little three-letter word named sin. Separates you from God. But God so desired to have a relationship with you that John 3:17 tells us something. We all know John 3:16 like the back of our hand. But what about verse 17? It's just as important. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, the world deserved to be condemned because of sin, but he didn't send him to condemn the world. He sent him to save the world because he loved them. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world to make you right again, to redeem you, to make you whole, to make you put back together of what was used to be broken. We used to sing a nursery rhyme about, what was it, Humpty Dumpty? Sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him back together. That had to be the Holy Spirit of God. No way I can remember that. All couldn't put him back together again. You are worse than Humpty Dumpty. You are broken. You are scattered into pieces. And not anybody can ever put you back together except a holy God. Seeking to save. Acts 4, verse 12. Listen to this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He came to save. He could have sent other people if he decided to. That wasn't the plan, because it took a perfect sacrifice. And it took a sacrifice that only God could have done, sending his spotless, sinless son for a lost, undeserving, dying world. Hard to understand, isn't it? Only in the name of Jesus is salvation offered. There's so much other things going around now. I deal daily. Daily I get a call or a text or I don't see him that often, but a friend who is a Muslim. And he'll, something's going wrong, he will say, sending prayers for you or sending something all the time. And listen, they are trusting in this man, Muhammad. And it's the sad thing is, and I think about it all the time, this is a great man. I have become great friends with him. He would probably do anything in the world for me. He would probably give me money if I needed it. He would probably give me a car if I needed it. This man, I've come to think a lot of him. But the sad thing is Muhammad is not going to save him. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and it's the name Jesus Christ. It's not you, it's not me, it's not New Harmony Church, it's not the water in the baptism, it's not anything. There's only one way that man must be saved, and it's Jesus Christ. The only way. Came to seek and to save. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now listen right here. This is where it comes personal. To every who? One. You are one. I know we teach that husband and wife become one flesh, but we are one person. Your salvation does not save your wife. Your wife's salvation does not save you. The Bible teaches that they're seeing their life live can lead to your salvation, can lead to their salvation, but it is a personal one, and it's a God's salvation to every one that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. There is every salvation is offered to all man, whether what color he is, what social background he's from, or anything else does not matter. What matters is that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That one. Salvation to every one. It's offered for you. The Bible says, how can you neglect such a great salvation? You see, it don't make sense how people can neglect. When Jesus comes to them or the Holy Spirit comes and he calls, how in the world can they reject that? How can they reject it? And I'll tell you how it is. Me and you are able to see because we are enlightened. If you're saved today, you can see that that's a foolish decision to not accept Jesus, not receive him. That is a crazy decision. But to those it is, the Bible says it's hidden. They are blind. They have no understanding. They do not know what it is. They don't completely understand it. They don't make... Listen, when I was saved there in Concord on June the 27th, 1996, I didn't understand one thing about it. I didn't. 97. I didn't understand a thing about it. I didn't understand if I said the right things. I didn't understand if I did the right things. I didn't understand how I was supposed to do it or any of that stuff. And it made me doubt throughout my years. But I come to one understanding. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, I'm saved by faith through grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing I could have done on that pew that would have saved me. The only thing that saved me is I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't know what I said that day, but I know that I put my faith in him that day. You see, doubt will keep you exactly where you've always been. Doubt and discouragement will hold you back. There's nothing more the enemy loves than doubt and discouragement. If he can get you doubting that you're his, then he's got you where you'll do nothing for Christ. I don't want to make you doubt this morning. I want to make you sure. I want to make you sure. When you leave this place, I want you to understand that you are the one reason that he came to this earth. And I want you to remember this Christmas season. That it's okay to be selfish. My family says I'm a selfish person. I probably am. I like things for myself. They say when we go to eat that I ask them where they want to eat just to be polite because I know where I'm going when I leave. They all agree. So be selfish this Christmas season and remember and understand that the reason he came was for you. No other reason. Nobody else matters at this point. It's for you. Boy, how special you must be. If the God of heaven, the God of all universe, came to the earth to live a life, to be made human, to be spit upon, to have his beard plucked out, to be beaten mercifully, where Isaiah says you couldn't even recognize his face. If he came and done all that for you, then you must be pretty special. And you are. You are special. I don't want any of you to think that you're not. You are a special creation of God. You look in the mirror and you think about how bad you look. Well, I'm different here, I'm different there. This person's taller. This person's more muscular. This person's is prettier. This person's slimmer. This person's bigger. We always want what somebody else has, and we forget that God made us just like we are, and He's perfect. The rest of y'all, I hate it for you because He made me the prettiest. But y'all got to deal with it. He didn't make me taller because my head would have been so big, then it would hit everything. Seriously, He came for you. He came to seek and to save. And lastly, we get into this. We can't leave this out. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I looked this word up in a strong concordance, and it almost made me cry, and it should have. The lost. You know what the word lost means in this context? You see, when we think of lost, we think of being at the mall and our kids wander off. And we have to find him because he was lost. Or we think of our dog who won't show up, and for a short time he becomes lost. Or we think before the days of the GPSs came out, us men would be lost. We wouldn't admit it. But I always said I'm not lost as long as I got gas and money. But we think about lost as not knowing where we're going. That is not what it means in this context. Listen to this. And you pull it up if you've got a strong concordance at home, or you may have it on your phone as I do. This word in this context means to destroy fully. Take that in for just a minute. He came to seek and to save those who were destroyed fully. He came to seek and to save, the other meaning is dead or perish. He came to seek and to save that which is dead. But what's worse than dead is fully destroyed. You see, because before you receive Him, even though you may have ever killed nobody, you may have never stolen, you may have done any of these things, but you have a sinful nature, and you are separated from God because of this, and you must be restored. And you are completely destroyed. But He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came that none should be lost. There is salvation provided for everyone. Now listen, I'm not one of those preachers, y'all know that, that preaches that everybody who says, Lord, Lord, enter the kingdom of heaven and you can bow your heads and raise your hand, you'll be saved. Y'all, I'll never preach that. I could grow this church probably big if I did that, but I'm not going to do it because I'd have to stand there. And more than that, I would have people that was falsely in there because they never knew Him. And I'm not going to do that. I'd rather preach to a small group and tell you the honest truth. The honest truth is not all will be saved. But the honest truth is all can be saved. Does God know He'll be saved? Absolutely. Does He know He'll reject Him? Absolutely. Does He still offer it to all people? Absolutely. John chapter 6, verse 44 through 47. Listen to this. And no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. That's us. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The lost, the fully destroyed. That said that you cannot come to him unless you be drawn. But it also said that every man is taught of God. At some point in your life, you are taught of God. Now let me give you a brief, very brief, of how you came, how you come, or how you did come, or how you must come to the Lord. Number one, you've got to realize that you're a sinner. The Bible says in godly sorrow, you have to repent of your sin. You've got to realize you're lost. You got to realize that you are the destroyed, the fully destroyed. At that point, you've got to understand that there is a sacrifice been made for your life. All this is done by God drawing you. At the moment you understand this, you understand you're lost, you understand there was a sacrifice made. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. You must believe on the works of the Son of God, and you shall be saved eternally." That is very brief. That is the gospel truth in 10 seconds. Believe you're a sinner, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. The big thing today, the big question is personal. Have you, at some point of your life, have you felt that draw of God? Have you been taught of God? Have you been led by the Spirit to understand that you need a Savior? At that time, did you believe on Him as your sacrifice for sin? Did you call upon Him and say, "Lord, save me"? If you hadn't, it don't matter how many times you was baptized, it don't matter how many churches you've been in, how many revivals you may have preached, how many revivals you may have taught, how many Sunday school lessons you've taught, how many Bible school lessons you've been a part of, if there's never been a time you've said that, then you are eternally destroyed, fully destroyed. If you have, you have been saved. Which you mean, you remember what the saved word meant? Put back together. Made whole. My prayer today is that you'll remember. If you have been saved today, that this Christmas season you'll remember why He came. He came for you. All this that's in here was for you. That baby was placed in Mary's womb, in the womb of a virgin, for you. He came and lived that life and died that terrible sacrifice to save you, which was lost. Not only could you not find your way, you say, that's where we get it mixed up. It's not that I can't find my way, it's that I'm totally destroyed. Something that destroyed cannot find its way. It is dead. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Will you remember that this Christmas season? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you have never trusted Him, I'm going to ask you, would you please receive Him today? Do not turn Him away. Do not say no. Don't do it. Become one of the saved. Become one of the preserved. Don't be destroyed. You don't have to. As Pat comes and plays something, if everyone would please stand. We all want to give the perfect gift this time of year. We want to pick something that somebody's proud of. We want to pick something that somebody likes. Truth be known, most of our gifts are put into a place and never used. Or re-gifted, given to somebody else. Or taken to a Samaritan's purse or some kind of other organization and given. A lot of Christmas gifts are done that way. But there was a gift given for you that'll never be taken away, it's used all eternity. It's the gift of salvation. Will you remember that this year? Will you remember that you are so special that God sent His only Son to put you back together and to make you complete and to make you whole? Because He desires relationship with you. He desires to be with you eternally. It's not His will that any be lost, but all come to repentance. That's in Timothy, and I skipped over that one. It was given just for you. You ought to feel special.